It is that we gather back to Christ himself. Ezra and Nehemiah, fantastic. You'll enjoy them.
Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study. Our Father's Word, Book of Jeremiah, He whom He launches forth. And God certainly launched this one forth with a good word. And that word is for you today. Because it's a prelude to the coming of the King of Babylon historically then, in the future since now. The King of Babylon coming as Antichrist in Jerusalem, preparing you. In other words, as it happened before, it's going to happen again. There's nothing new under the sun. That's the way God teaches us, and it's a fantastic way. With the word of wisdom from our Father in Yeshua's name, let's pick it up if we may. God's kind of coming down on shepherds. This is to say, preachers. Those that will not teach God's word, but rather would teach their own imaginations, things, religions they dream up. Our Father's not real happy with that. As a matter of fact, it angers him considerably. So having said that, chapter 11, let's pick it up with verse 15, if we may, with that word of wisdom from our Father. And verse 15 reads, "What hath my beloved to do in mine house, seeing she hath wrought lewdness with many, and the holy flesh is passed from thee?" Question. When thou doest evil, then thou rejoicest. Now, first of all, analyze, what's God's house? Well, God's house, of course, is His church. And He said, you committed lewdness right in my house, and then after you do, you rejoice about it. Do you know why? They don't understand. They don't know that what they're doing is wrong. Absolutely not. Anytime, as a matter of fact, when you have one of God's houses and you've got a preacher in there that'll say, you don't have to understand God's word, you don't have to understand the book of Revelation, you're going to be gone, you're going to fly away. Okay. You know, I question the sanity of somebody that would listen to a man that would say, you don't have to understand God's word. That you would place that much value on a man over God. You should already know that you're in dangerous, dangerous trouble if you place man over God. It is, after all, God's word. It is God that is judge. And you better know how He feels, because He's the one that's going to judge you. And if you don't even realize you're doing wrong in His house, which is what He's talking about here, they rejoice because they think they're doing something holy. Well, it looks holy. God doesn't consider it so if it isn't truth and if it isn't from His Word. You know, people can make vows all they want to, but if it is not aligned with God's Word, and listen, God is so simple, so easy to please. All you have to do, I've harped really in the last three lectures on chapter 7, verse 23. God said, I don't want your burnt offerings, you eat them. I want you to hear my voice, to obey me. I will be your God, you will be my people, and it will be well with you. I'll bless you. That's all it takes. But if you start listening to men and other religions and making holier-than-thou vows or idols, you're in trouble, friend. In God's house especially. Verse 16, "The Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. He created you. You know, the olive tree is Eliyah. It's God's name. That's what the olive tree is, Eliyah. The sacred name, even, if you would. It's the oil of our people. It's the anointing oil. And God calls himself a great fir tree. But then he utilizes the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then he talks about the tree of life. But then, you know, I can't help it. I'm going to turn back to Judges chapter 9. I'm going to pick it up with verse 8. Listen to this little story about the trees. A lot is said within it. Judges chapter 9, verse 8. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. Let's pick us one. And they said unto the olive tree, rain thou over us. I mean, you're the greatest. You're the oil of our people. You be the king. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? I serve a much better purpose than that already. And the tree said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. Verse 11, and the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to be promoted over the trees? Question, that'd be kind of a loser for me. Verse 12, then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. 13, and the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, I repeat, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? I don't think so. Even this would be the first miracle that Christ performed. Verse 14. Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us. You know what a bramble bush is? That's a thorn bush. That's a thistle, or next to it. Sticky. It's where you don't want your seed to fall, is among the thorns, okay? Verse 15, and the bramble, listen carefully, there's a lot in this little story. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Cedars of Lebanon are always symbolic of our people. Okay, even God would say, I'm a great fir tree. But this bramble bush said, you either get in my shadow for protection. You see, there's just one problem with this. A thorn bush doesn't have a shadow. A thorn bush would not give you any protection. All it would do is give you hurt. In the first place, is what the crown of thorns was made for, that was placed on the head of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's symbolic of Satan. And they would gladly make him king over all of the trees. God said, I made you an olive tree. And he at one time said, I planted a good planting, and I'm your husband. I'm going to return now, if I may, to the great book of Jeremiah. But there you have that little story of trees, and you've got to pay attention. God utilizes horticulture as well as many other things in nature to document a truth to you that you can better understand. Let me put it to you this way. Anybody that's been around at all, been around any thorn bushes, anybody that would give up grapevines, would give up olive trees, would give up fig trees, the shade, the sweetness, the honey from that fig, for a thorn bush, hadn't got good sense. They just really don't. Their elevator isn't going to the top floor. Okay, so don't put your faith in this king of Babylon that is coming, and historically it would be Nebuchadnezzar. Now it is Apollyon, it is a Babdon, both the Greek and the Hebrew name of Satan. as he comes as the spurious Messiah, King of Babylon. And he wants to be your king. But all you're going to get from it is a bunch of thorns and no shade. Okay? So, that's kind of, God made us a green olive tree, the healthiest oil in the world. Verse 17, returning to chapter 11, Jeremiah. For the Lord of hosts that planted thee hath pronounced evil against thee. For the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense unto Baal. In other words, it really irritates me. He still has both houses separated. You will note that, number one. When do they come back together? Well, as it is written in Ezekiel 37, it'll be the millennium. And he said, here, all I have done for them, all I have blessed them with, all they want to do is set up false teachings. One verse revolving revs that never quite get around to teaching God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse where thus saith the Lord and it is understood. That's what's important. He doesn't like it. And you start burning incense to Baal, that means when you're deceived and you start praying to the first Messiah that's going to come and so-called haul you out of here, that's Satan. That's Satan worship. Well, I didn't know that. Well, then you haven't read God's word. That's what Jesus teaches in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. That Satan's coming to load up a load of rapture people right off the gate. And he's supernatural. Well, I didn't know that. Well, you'd better be learning. It makes God very angry when you want to take his word for it in studying his word. Just making friends, influencing people here. Verse 18. And the Lord hath given me knowledge of it. Jeremiah speaks now. He says, I know it. I can see it. And I know it. Then thou showedest me their doings. In other words, when you open my eyes, Jeremiah says, I can see what they're doing. I can understand, just as when he opens your eyes today and you can see the deception that is rampant in this world of false teachings and people being led astray. Encouraged not to study God's word, but to believe and just have faith. In what? Antichrist? Or God's word? There's no substitute for God's word. Verse 19. And here we see Jeremiah become kind of as a type of Christ. Listen to it carefully. But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter. And I knew not that they had devised devices against me. It was a setup. Saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. Let's destroy Messiah. And of course, ultimately, this is the type. And naturally, the crucifixion, the first advent. You have to understand the plan of Satan in this world today, for he's the prince of the air. His hour of darkness is here for those that wish to go into that darkness, but it's preferable to stay in the light, which is to say Christ, the true Christ, not the fake. That's what they cry, though. Verse 20, listen carefully. But, O Lord of hosts, that judgeth righteously, that triest the reins of the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. I look to you to see justice, God, and you don't have to worry, he will bring it on. And this test means test me, try me, like you would to in that old fiery furnace, to test whether it's real silver and gold or just a bunch of slag. Test what I've got. I'm with you. I love you. And the Lord is going to do this test, and he's going to get rid of junk. That's what this earth age basically is about, is people to make their mind up, the children of God, whether they love him or they take part in the controversy he warned us of in the last lecture and go with Satan. You can always look for justice, beloved, as a Christian, because God will see that you have it. And that's what you want. Just means He's going to protect you. And He will punish the enemy. Verse 21. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. We don't want to have to kill you. Now, it's important that you know who the men of Anathoth are. Do you know what Anathoth is? The name even means in the Hebrew tongue, answer to prayer. About 3 miles north, almost true north, not quite, from Jerusalem. It's a priest town, preacher town. I mean, it is all priests, all preachers, all shepherds. They're threatening. You understand? It's the clergy that's threatening to do Jeremiah in for teaching God's word, the truth. And you know something? A lot of shepherds today do not like someone to come along and teach God's word chapter by chapter and show up a bunch of phonies. It makes you about as popular as a hare in a biscuit. Okay? Not popular at all. And nothing new under the sun, my friend. But when it comes to souls being saved or lost, one good way to lose your soul or taint it is go ahead and follow Satan. See what it gains you even in life today. Your blessings are out the window, friend. He said, hey, that town where the preachers dwell, I set it aside just for preachers so they could have a resting place, they could have their own place, and it's turned into a den of robbers going against God's word. Several verses following will be addressed to Anathoth, to preachers and shepherds and pastors. They're threatening Jeremiah for teaching chapter by chapter, verse by verse. That is to say, pulling forth the word of God as God spoke. Let's continue as God speaks, not some one verse here and there to twist and deceive people. Verse 22. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword. Their sons and their daughters shall die by famine. Famine for what? Famine for hearing the truth, the real word of God. That's what the famine is for here in the end times. Amos chapter 8, verse 23. And there shall be no remnant of them, for I will bring evil upon the men of Anathoth, even the year of their visitation. The preachers and teachers, if they're not very careful, this Anathoth, this their little base camp, they're going to be going wrong right up to the day that I return. And what he's saying is, I'll make sure. This is why it's wonderful that judgment begins at the pulpit. Everybody should feel that they are anxious to be judged for what they teach from God's word. Because, in the first place, I would tremble in my boots if I ever thought that I deliberately misled a group of people. To me, that would be a frightening, frightening thing. And when people do not seriously take the role and the position of teacher, especially, that's pastor, he that's supposed to put the pasture and the food out there to stop famine, so that people can feed on the real word of God, then somebody, he's already said, I'll cut them off, I'll punish them, and right down to the day of the visitation. Visitation by who? God himself through the Son. Hey, he doesn't slack off of Anathoth all the way down through verse 6. Okay, so this is to the preachers. Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1, and it reads, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments, wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper. Question, why does it look like they always prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal with treachery? Wherefore are all they? They're happy that deal with treachery. It seems like they get ahead, we don't. false. You know, our Heavenly Father, for the student, or I'll even say the scholar, has a very wonderful thing hidden in the 37th Psalm. You with companion Bibles, you're fortunate that it digs it out for you from the Hebrew. There are three verses which only have three lines in that psalm. All the rest are four. I believe that's right. And it separates and makes an acrostic out of those three verses. And the question is, why is it that the evil always get ahead? God, in this acrostic, God said, don't worry. They're like the fat that drops from the spit from the lamb on the fire. It goes into the fire and it goes up in smoke forever and ever. That's all they amount to. They're not getting ahead. And the third part of the acrostic is that he said, and you're going to be there to see it. So don't ever, ever ask God why it is that the wicked prosper, okay? He doesn't particularly care for that, because they don't. They're padding their sail in hell. Okay. I think I would like to reword that. They're kindling their fire in hell with their own works. Verse 2. Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, it seems like in business they really grow. They bring forth fruit, thou art near in their mouth, and far from their reins. In other words, they talk about you all the time, God, about how holy they are and how holy you are, but inside they're so far away from you they're worshiping the Antichrist. They're not even worshiping you. They're not even teaching you. They have totally turned away. Back to verse 15 of the prior chapter. My beloved has left me in my house. And it's lewdness they bring in. False teaching. Hey, he's not happy about it. And you ask him if they're getting ahead, what do you think he feels about it? He said, they just like to look holy. Verse 3. But thou, O Lord, knowest me, thou hast seen me, and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep from the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. Separate them, judge them. Separate the sheep from the goats. Hey, that's what's going to happen. You can count on it. And that day is not all that far away. Verse 4. How long shall the land mourn, and the herbs of every field wither, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? There's no prosperity there. There's no fruit comes from wickedness. The beasts are consumed and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. God sees everything. God won't judge us. We can get away with it. Oh, no, you can't. You don't, hey, God even knows what you think, much less know what you do. And there's no getting away with anything with our Father. If you think you can con him, you're a fool. Because nobody cons God. No wicked person gets away with anything. Do you know why it is that he can't sleep good at night and he's always looking over his shoulder? That's God's putting pressure on them. Letting them know you're going to pay. Verse 5. We got 10. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, if the infantry has got you down, then how canst thou contend with horses? How in the world are you going to get by when the cavalry hits? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Now, the swelling of Jordan is that part along the Jordan River that overflows, and it's really brushy. It's where the beasts hang out. In other words, if you can't get along right now, what are you going to do when you go through there and some big animal jumps you? Or if you can't stand it now, where they just got their infantry out. What are you going to do when the cavalry comes? Or I might ask it a different way. What are you going to do when the false Christ appears? You know, you need to fortify yourself with truth from God's Word. Famine won't cut it, friend. You have to know what's going down. You have to know for a fact that when God speaks, He means it, and when He says it, that's it. No more need be said. If He gives you power over your enemies, you don't have to fear anything as long as you use common sense. Especially when it comes to the supernatural, I'm speaking of Satan and demonics. They run from you. When you exercise that power, you don't have anything to fear. Because God indeed blesses His true servants. God indeed blesses and gives authority and power to those that take it and know how to handle it. Because knowing it is the power of God and not man. You know, I guess what he's saying here is, if you can't take a little heat from what's going on today, you better get set, because he's about to lower the boom, okay? And let's go with the next verse, verse 6. This will be the final one to Anathoth. For even thy brethren in the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. They speak real nice things, but don't you believe it? You believe God's word. You know, what he's talking about here is a group of preachers that just talk so holy. Oh, it's so simple. All you have to do is believe and you're saved. Never have to crack the book. You don't have to do anything. When the trouble hits, you're going to be gone. There's just one trouble. That's a lie. That is a falsehood. You're going to be here when the Calvary hits. You're going to be here when the swelling of Jordan is entertained. And you can cut it. But you have to have God's Word to know you have that ability. Or you would be like the rest of them that will be overrun for their believing lies. For they're not participating in God's Word, obeying His command, being His people, and He being your God. Then it's well with you. It's that simple. But people like to listen to ratchet jaws, to malarkey, that is foreign to God's Word. You know, we've covered a few verses written to Anathoth, which is the preacher's town. And it lets you know deliberately what God thinks about that preacher's town that talks holy, but they never get into the Word. His Word. And He doesn't like it. He doesn't like it even a little bit. He doesn't like it to the point that he says even they, the families of the priest, are going to be deceived because they follow the lie. Okay, verse 7, to continue. I have forsaken mine house. This is the house. He said, what is God's house? It's church. I have forsaken mine house. I have left mine heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of the enemies. If they, over to chastisement, if they want to be deceived, hey, go for it. You know, that's what this earth age is about, and that's why this word triest, or to assay, such as testing gold in the fire, that's what it's about, friend. How you react in this earth age, whereby you have Satan working overtime to deceive God's children. And some of them seem to enjoy the deception rather than the simplicity in which God teaches. Simply obeying God instead of man and man's little puny traditions that make void the Word of God. God's looking for champions. How are you doing, friend? How are you fixed? If you want to go over the hand of the enemy, it's real easy. Verse 8, mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest, it crieth out against me, therefore have I hated it. That really loses in the translation what God is saying. My beloved children are treating me as if they are a lion and they're trying to destroy me. This is Almighty God talking. That's sad. That hurts even when you think of God having to say that. My own children are against me. They're trying to destroy me by false teaching, to worship Antichrist instead of God, instead of God's simplicity, His Word, His teachings. Do you know how painful that is to our Heavenly Father? That His own children would deny Him and chase after, go whoring after strange religions? But it seems so holy. Not according to God's Word. That's easy enough to figure. You know, a child can read the Bible and follow the subject and the object, but it takes some weirdo to come along and start sticking sayings in, traditions that make void the real Word, the simplicity. Like the verse we just read, when you feel the hurt in your father's heart, when you start chasing after things like that, you're trying to destroy me. That's impossible to do. It still hurts him. It still pains him that people would do that. And, you know, this is part of the answer of why does it seem like the wicked prosper? They're hurting God like that. What do you think? You think they prosper? No, the hammer is about to fall on them, friend. Verse 9, mine heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field. Come to devour. A great old western song by Ernest Tubbs, written from that particular verse. The great speckled bird. And this is a bird of prey, quite frankly. And that's what they're after. One more verse, verse 10. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. So simple, so easy to take care of. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness by bringing in the desolator, which is to say Satan. You know, it is really a shame, because God would say, I mean, Jesus would say in His teachings, I am the vine, and you, my followers, are the branches. And Almighty God is the pruner. Okay? God whops off those that don't produce fruit. That's your answer to why does it seem like the wicked get ahead. They don't. They end up on the ground in that vineyard, the one that's desolate. But this has to do with Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, concerning the end time when the day of visitation brought forth in the last verse of the last chapter we just completed, the day of the visitation for the people of Anathoth, the preachers, pastors. When it is written in Daniel 29 that the desolator, that's what the Hebrew says, the King James translated in the English desolation. Desolation is a condition. Desolator is an entity. Antichrist, King of Babylon, when he appears and comes in, much of the world's going to be deceived. See that you're not. It's just that simple. Don't listen to some pastor that would tell you otherwise. You're going to be gone. You don't have to understand God's Word. Revelation is not to be understood. Then pray tell me why God named it reveal everything. That's what revelation means. Reveal. Make known. So you see, people tell you God, they lie about God's Word. And God puts those words out to save your soul, whereby you're not deceived. I don't know, who do you listen to Do you read God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, or do you listen to man? You're in a time of visitation. It's approaching. Make sure who it is you listen to. Choose right, friend, because he will judge accordingly. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The book of Deuteronomy. The law was given as our schoolmaster. Have you been to school on God's Word? Certainly one way to go there is to study the book of Deuteronomy. Probably the most exciting thing that Deuteronomy has to offer for you is that great song of Moses, that those that overcome the false Messiah in the end generation will be singing. The law itself being the schoolmaster that keeps us out of trouble in these flesh bodies. Again, an education in taming that part of you that oftentimes needs taming through the old schoolmaster, that great book, Deuteronomy, the law, and its set ways of keeping you from harm's way even in this generation. You're going to enjoy it.
And there we are, back again, and say I want to straighten something out. I said The Great Speckled Bird was an old song written by Roy Acuff. Everybody knows it wasn't him. It was Roy Acuff that wrote The Great Speckled Bird, and boy, could he belt it out. And it came right from that particular scripture. That's one of the reasons I love country western. Most of it is based on good country living. All right, hey, there's your 800 number. And we got it there on the screen, 1-800-643-4645. That number good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. Spirit moves. Got a question? Share it. We can no longer answer all questions because of the number of homes that we go into around the world, but we'll take a handful. Yours could be there. It sure could. And let God know that you love Him. That's what He wants from you. Please never ask a question about an individual, reverend, denomination, church, or religion, organization. Let's don't judge people. God can do that Himself. Now, those of you that listen around short, the world upon short wave, your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Always a pleasure. Got a prayer request? We can do away with the number. We can do away with the address. Why? Because God knows what you're thinking. He loves you. Father, around the globe, we come, we ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Okay, and Judy from Texas today. Would you explain Daniel 12, verses 1 and 2? What is that in relationship to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? Is this not after the abomination of desolation is found standing in the holy place, the desolator standing there? You got it right. But what is in the dust on the belly of his life all the days he would go? It's a state of degradation. And those that don't make the first resurrection, they're still going to be mortal, meaning liable to die. They're still spiritually deader than a hammer. I didn't say physically dead. Spiritually dead. You got to learn the difference that God will have many people resurrected into a spiritual body, but they're still going to have a mortal soul. If they did not overcome, they're on the opposite side of the gulf mentioned in Luke chapter 16, and they're going to stay there. Though they are conscious, though they can think, and though they can be taught, they're going to stay in that condition until the second resurrection, and they will participate in that or they will go to hell. The choice, again, is up to that person. So it is a figure of speech that means they're still in a state of degradation when our angel Michael, the angel of God's children, comes. Okay, Andy from Tennessee. My question, is it written in the Bible that people standing in a field or who may be around you or even you yourself suddenly vanish, leaving others to wonder what has happened? Or is this just a myth? It's a myth. It's not true. And it deceives a lot of people. If it is written, what does it mean? it's not written anywhere in God's Word, okay? This is a lingering point of confusion for me that I need to understand and square away. Don't let man deceive you. I'm going to walk you through it. They get it from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. But you go back to verse 13, and even a child can read it to you with understanding. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant about where, as the heathen are, as to where the dead are. If you believe Christ rose from the dead, and you better, or you're not a Christian, you better believe all the rest have also. Meaning what? That to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And then at the last trump, even we who remain will be changed into a spiritual body. What? For judgment. Now, then it will say, colon, the living can no way precede the dead. Why? Well, he just told you back in 13 and 14, they're out of here. They're gone. They're already there. A baby can understand that. A good Christian baby can. By that I mean a child 4 or 5 years old. We've got them all over the place that understand that. Tracy from Wisconsin, is there a way of telling if you are one of God's elect, and is it true that we have angels here with us, our angels delivering messages to us from God? That is not written. We have the Holy Spirit that delivers messages to us, as it is written in the 14th chapter of St. John. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will call these things to your memory. Many of those things we've known all along, and they just are clarified. But as it is written, it does not mean there are angels among us. I'm not going to say there isn't, because an angel is simply a messenger. That's all the word means. But it is written in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, that if you be one of God's elect, and how do you tell one of God's elect? If you know Satan's coming first, you probably are, and have compassion on all those deceived. God blinded all the rest, as it is written in Romans chapter 11. That's why you can't dent them. You can't share it with them. You can't open their eyes. Why? God closed them so that they can be opened in the millennium. Why? If they're opened beforehand, they could commit the unpardonable sin. So God kind of puts a cloak of innocency over some. Okay? But that's how you tell. But in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, your angel is one of God's elect, has the face of God at any moment it's needed. Meaning if he sees you getting in trouble, you've got God's attention. That's written Matthew 18:10. Lisa from Georgia, is there such a thing as voodoo and witchcraft which people can actually cause you to have bad luck or put spells on you? Only if you let it. Okay. There are evil spirits in the world, and you can call them whatever you want to. There's no such thing, really, other than just evil spirits. But it would be only if you allowed it. Otherwise, a good, strong Christian, if somebody tried to put a spell on you, it would ricochet off you like a .30-06. It couldn't penetrate, couldn't bother you, wouldn't bother you. In other words, a real warrior of Almighty God is ready to do battle with evil spirits anytime, any place, because we always win. And besides that, they're scared to death of us. They hate us. There is no way they're going to come near us unless they're infested some poor soul that wants cleansing and comes dragging here. We have power over them. They can't bother you. Don't ever listen to that junk, okay? Rachel from Idaho, we're trying to follow the food laws. What are the clean foods we can eat? An oversimplification, but never eat scavengers, and you'll do just fine. Leviticus chapter 11, and then always make a note, if you're going to be serious about this, make a note of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, where God tells you, don't ever let anyone judge you in marriage or in what your food laws. Never let someone judge you. Listen carefully now. Verse 3, in what God created to be received. He created a lot of things that are not to be received. You don't eat scavengers. They'll make you sick. Okay? It's against the health laws. It will make you sick. Willis from Georgia, where is there a record of where the black race started in the Bible? In the chapter where all the races were created. Okay? And God looked and it was good. He loved it. That's where it is. You see, you have to go into the Hebrew manuscripts just a little bit and understand the difference between Adam and Ha'adam. Okay, human and Adam. Ha'adam is the man through which Christ would come. And on the sixth day, he created all of the races and made hunters out of some of them, fishermen out of some others, and looked and it was good. He was happy with everyone just like he'd created them. Jackie from Texas, I wanted to know if the scriptures say anything about wills and if there are reasons for taking someone out of their will. I'm thinking of taking three out of my five children out of my will. Well, you know, it's your property and you're the one that must decide that. And there is naturally utilize common sense. You have five children, and they are all your children. But if some have wronged you and don't deserve, then God has sure cut a lot of people out of His will. That when He talks about His heritage, He told a bunch of them in today's lecture, "I'm through with you. You're out of my will unless you change your ways." That's heritage, okay? So it's your decision, just like it is God's. If they deserve it, fine. If they don't, hey. But you must make that decision, okay? Because you're the one that knows how they have treated you, what they have said to you, and so forth. Ed from New York, are all sins equal? No, of course not. As a matter of fact, the sin of murder, that is to lie in wait, Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm sorry, Deuteronomy chapter 19. If you lie in wait and take a life, you got to die. Okay? God said, I don't want you to live. And that's if you murder someone. There's a difference in killing and murder. Okay? So that's the death penalty. But if you steal a man's cow, replace four of them, and you'll be doing fine. It's a little different giving your life to one, a little bit of profit on for the trouble on the other. Tom from Virginia. I was told that all of Cain's descendants were killed in the flood. Is that true? Absolutely not. What are Cain's descendants? They are called Kenites. It is a Hebrew word which is transliterated from the Hebrew. But if we translate it rather than transliterate it, it says, instead of Kenites, it says sons of Cain. Okay? So what are sons of Cain? Well, naturally, they're Cain's descendants. And you will read in, how were they flesh? Of course they were. What was Noah told to take aboard the ark? Two of every flesh. So they didn't die in the flood. And Noah took two of all aboard the ark. Now, you want documentation from God's word? That's what you should want. Then you will find in Numbers chapter, I'm going to use a different one. First Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. The Kenites were already keeping books for the tribe of Judah. That's why you want to be careful who does your translating for you, okay? You want to have someone doing your translating that is Christian and that is able to spot forgeries even in the Hebrew. Because they're there. Okay, there are changes. Tony from Virginia. I have a pastor who told me the sacred name of Jesus, Yahweh, has never been said in the Bible, and I'm really confused. Well, I want to be careful how I answer this, because the sacred name is not other than as Yah, printed in the King James Version. But certainly it is many times in the Hebrew manuscripts. Okay. There is Yahweh Jiri, which means God is the God of blessings or support, financing, progress. Get your Strong's Concordance and go to 30, 50, along about 30, and start reading there in your Hebrew dictionary, and soon you'll come along a long list in the manuscripts of Yahweh being used. So I don't want to say that your pastor is wrong if he's talking about the English translation, because he would be correct. But to say that it wasn't in the Hebrew manuscripts from which the King James came from, he would be in error. Okay. Pat from Texas. Let's see what we got here. I really appreciate the staff. Would you kindly tell me where it says to pray to the Almighty Father in the name of Jesus? We don't pray to Jesus. Is that right? And please tell me where it says that. Well, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus was asked, how do we pray? And Jesus told them, you pray thusly, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because it will be, because heaven's going to be on earth ultimately. But you always pray to the Father. But the reason you pray in Jesus' name, it documents that you're a Christian, that you believe the Word of God. That's what it documents, and quite frankly, if you want your prayers answered, well, the words of the wise is sufficient. Gregory from California. I'm sorry, North Carolina. Question. Can I ask God for forgiveness of past sins if I am truly sorry for them, even though I think I am probably going to sin again? Well, I think probably all of us, in one way or the other, might sin again. So don't never let that stop you from repenting for all of your sins. Just do it. Okay, repent, and Father will forgive you. Now, if you, which I pick up here a slight hint that you might have a habitual habit, okay, let's say like smoking, and you need help on it, then repent, but ask, don't promise him you're not going to quit. I bet you are going to quit, Russ. But ask him for help on how to give you the strength to break habits and to help you with it. Hey, he's your Father. He loves you, and he will help you when he knows you're really, really trying. Okay? Melina from Georgia. Was it God's plan to harden my heart for the first 18 years of my life? I feel like I should have known him when I was younger, and that I missed out. Can you please provide any documentation from the Bible that would help me to understand? Well, God's in control. And God calls, let's take Peter. How old was he when Christ walked up and said, follow me? He was a commercial fisherman. He was already married, and he had a family. Okay, basically. God, sometimes the experience you gained up to 18 might have helped you be a lot better Christian in knowledge and experience that you had gained. God knows what he's doing when he calls people. So, just thank God it happened at 18. A lot of people, it might not happen to ever. Okay. So, thank God he's given you a good husband and a family, and what can you say? You're blessed. Belinda from Alabama. First, thank you for teaching the truth. You're welcome. My question is, I know that in the millennium we can go and help a family member, mother, father, brother, sister, not married. Why not a sister married? Also, my dad died when I was young. Does he know about and seeing my kids? he never got to see any of my, our Father, there's nobody dead, number one. They're all with the Father. And your Father certainly knows. And the reason, if a sister marries, she becomes one with whom she marries. Okay? And it's that family's responsibility. Now, if she marries someone that is not an elect or one that overcomes, then perhaps you could. Kay from Iowa. As we will have no recollection of lost family members when we get to heaven, does that mean we will have no recollection of our lives on earth? No, you've kind of got this wrong. Okay. Naturally, you would have to recognize your loved ones, or you couldn't go help them in the millennium. It's after the millennium, when God judges them to hell, that they're blotted from our minds or existence. Okay, then, but you will still remember what you did and so forth. It's just that there are no tears, there are sorrow. And if God had not blotted them out, you know, I might grieve for some people that I love that didn't make it. Might do it. But I won't even remember they existed, because God will blot them out. And really, it means they didn't exist, in a sense, as far as our recollection goes. Cynthia from Illinois. Is chronic cigarette chain smoking a sin? It's a sin to your health. Okay, you know, a person could smoke and still go to heaven. A lot of people would really rake me over for saying that, but it is your health that it would punish you for. So what you do is you pray to God to give you strength to stop, if that's be your desire. I know until you're ready, you won't quit. But when you're ready, you talk to him, and their age, you can get, I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all a lot. Why? Because you enjoy studying our Father's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And you know something? He loves you for it. That's what's important. It makes his day. When you make his, he's going to make yours. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? But you know something most important? And it's just the way it is. Stay in God's Word. That's what's important. Every day in it is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yahshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.